The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the hill country of Judah, we have the coming together of two very unlikely women. Two expectant mothers reunite, which in and of itself is not all that unusual, right? Happens all the time, especially considering that they're related. But think about this. One, Saint Elizabeth, is old enough to be a great-grandmother, formerly barren, and yet she is in her third trimester of pregnancy. And the other, Saint Mary, has just begun her pregnancy, and yet she is a virgin. Two unlikely mothers, to be sure. But with God, anything is possible. Now, Luke doesn't tell us why Mary went to visit Elizabeth in the hill country, but you've got to wonder what it must have been like for Saint Mary. She had just heard from an angel. And is that normally a hallmarky, cutesy kind of encounter? No. No. Angels are terrifying creatures. To have just heard from one, she must have been afraid. Add to that the fact that she was betrothed, and therefore she was supposed by all people to have been a virgin, and yet she turns out to be with child. I guarantee you the tongues of wicked men were wagging against the mother of our Lord in her hometown of Nazareth. And sometimes, not all times, but sometimes it's good just to get out of Dodge, right? Just to get out of town and get away for a little bit. Take up with relatives who at least would try to understand. Because if anyone would have understood what Mary was going through, it would have certainly been Elizabeth, a senior citizen well past her childbearing age, who by the power of God was 3 months away from delivering St. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, and his cousin. Certainly she would understand. So a pregnant virgin and a pregnant elderly woman come together in Judah. So, let that sink in. If you think that there is anything that God can't do for you in your life, think again. If you think that there is some prayer that he won't hear from you, if you think that there is some sin that you've committed that is just so horrible, so terrible, that it can't be forgiven, guess what? Think again. With God, all things are possible. You know, God won't be molded in to these small little boxes that our minds try to create for him. He's too immense for that. As soon as Mary greets her cousin Elizabeth, John leaps for joy in the womb of his mother. John is already praising Jesus Christ. He isn't even born yet, and he's praising his God that is right there before him. And so much, by the way, for the idea that life in the womb is somehow less than human, less than aware, or that the Word of God can't get there to that child, or that infants can't believe, that they can't receive the gift of faith that God gives, and so they can't be baptized. That is nonsense. John, from inside his mother's womb, is praising God. And that really settles the matter altogether, I think. John was actually preaching through his mother. She was his interpreter. The scripture says that the prophet John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And so he is. So filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth blesses her younger cousin Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, she says. Saint Mary is what every single Israelite woman longed to be. The mother of the Messiah. She is the exact counterpart to Eve. Where Eve heard the word of Satan in the garden and was deceived, Mary heard the word of God, and she said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word, O Lord." And so where Eve gave birth to death, Mary gives birth to life. Eve's son was the crusher of his brother's head, but Mary's son is what? Her son is the crusher of Satan's head, our long enemy, that ancient serpent who took us captive in the garden. Mary is the ultimate fulfillment of motherhood in bearing the promised Savior of humanity. She's the epitome of motherhood, and she brings an absolutely unique dignity to women that, I'm sorry, guys, we just cannot have. It will never be ours to bear that same dignity. Because women, one of yours is the mother of God through one of your own. God rains down salvation from the heavens. What an honor. What a dignity you have. Elizabeth calls her the mother of my Lord. She says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And that sentence ought to give us pause. This is the very essence of the mystery of Christmas, of the incarnation. That the Lord of the universe, the very one through whom all things exist, who spoke all things into existence by his mighty word, that same one has a mother. He has a mother in Mary. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The infinite, almighty Son of God takes up residence within the finite borders of a mother's womb. The body of Saint Mary has become the Ark of the Covenant, carrying in her body the new and everlasting covenant, who is Jesus Christ. The fullness of deity has deigned to dwell among us bodily. The Creator literally becomes the creature that he might save us. And so Mary is, as the Council of Chalcedon rightly called her, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the one who bore God in her womb. Now, it is certainly the case that if Jesus wanted to, he could have appeared suddenly one day as a man in his 30s, fully grown. God can dwell among us in any way that he so chooses. It's one of the luxuries of being God. But he knows how we are, doesn't he? He knows how fickle. He knows what he knew that we would cast doubts over his work. We'd ask, does he really fully embrace our humanity? Is he really truly a man? Is he completely human? Or does he just appear that way? Is he just pretending to be that way? If Jesus did not have a mother, we would forever doubt his humanity. Even having a mother, people in the church, heresies have arisen through the ages where exactly that has happened. And in doubting his humanity, what would we do? We would question whether or not he is really our true substitute underneath the law. Did he actually accomplish the law, fulfill the law for us as a man? As fully human. And so we would question whether or not his death actually atones for sin, whether he's truly the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If he was not born of Mary, we doubt that his death embraced all of humanity, all of our sin. The newly born, and even the unborn. We'd probably even doubt whether his death on the cross was a real death or not, or just some sort of piece of divine magic that God shows, special effects. If Jesus had shown up as a 30-year-old man, he would have bypassed some of the most painful and difficult experiences in a human being's life, right? I mean, the trauma of childbirth, both for the mother and the child, the utter dependency of a child during infancy, you know, all of the scrapes and the cuts and the bruises of childhood, all of the bullying that goes on, all of that awkwardness of adolescence, right? Remember that? He would have just bypassed all of that. And it had to be this precise way for Jesus to literally be the Savior of all, to embrace from the womb to the tomb. His human nature embraces all of our humanity, from the tiniest, smallest cluster of cells in his mother's womb to the dying breath of the man on the cross. He embraces it all. So literally then, from womb to tomb, he grabs a hold of humanity with the fullness of his divinity. Elizabeth blesses Mary for her faith, because Mary took God for his word. It's easy to breeze by that. She put her trust in the word of God. And so Mary is also a picture of every single believer. She hears this impossible word that in her virginity she is to conceive and bear a son who would be God with us to save his people from their sins. And she responds as only faith can respond to the impossible word of God. Amen, she says. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And that's how it is with us, isn't it? God says to us, in my Son Jesus Christ, you have life, you have forgiveness, you have peace between God and men. You have everything that you need in fullest measure. And you will bear him in your own bodies. And faith says what? Faith says, amen. Let it be done unto me according to your word. God says to us in holy baptism, this washing of regeneration, that it is your new life. It's the washing away of your sins, your rebirth, your renewal, your salvation, Scripture even says. And faith says, amen, amen. Be it done unto me according to your word. Christ says to you, you are forgiven. Your sin is as far from you as the east is from the west. And faith says, amen, Lord. According to your word, let it be done to me. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. And we say, amen. Yes, Lord. Saint Mary was the first Christian. She is at the same time our sister and our mother, who bore the singular dignity of bearing the word of God in her womb. And for that today, we bless her with Elizabeth and with John. She is a perpetual symbol to us that with God, my brothers and sisters, nothing is impossible. Nothing. An old couple has a son in their old age. A young woman conceives in her virginity. The dead are raised. You and I, who were born in bondage to Satan, stand as free sons and daughters before our God because of our brother Jesus Christ. Nothing is impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.